Father, we praise you and thank you for this day. It's a super Sunday, the first day of the week. We honor you, give you all the glory. Thank you for your word that's gone forth for edification, exhortation, and comfort. And that'll be used today in our lives, and we'll all benefit from it. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Yahshua, amen. So I'm going to share with you folks some seasons in my life where I sow seed. The harvest came. And sometimes you prune stuff, but you guys grow stuff, right? Rose bushes. Sometimes you got to prune it before it reaches its full, and sometimes after harvest you prune. So I'm going to talk about some fruit cutting and trimming that have taken place in my life. And my opening scripture is going to be Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. And I'm going to be reading from up here like you guys are going to be reading, It says, for everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. So my first charge to you is to read the rest of that chapter. I'm not going through that. I'm just going to stick with this verse. But you need to know there's different seasons in your life. And then you need to identify what season are you in so you can get through it. So I'm going to share today, what I'm going to share is going to change somebody's life, and it's going to keep changing my life. And then I'm going to give you a chance to initiate the change in your life today. In fact, if you can you just stand up? Go ahead and stand up. Stand up with me as we start this. And just turn to the right and look at somebody, whether you know them or not, on the other side, Look to the left, find somebody. You don't have to say nothing, just look at them. Now turn and look backwards. Oh, well, if you look backwards, they get. Well, the people in the sound booth, that's some big time people. And upstairs, yeah. And then look this way, look to the people in the front. Okay. Now go ahead and have a seat. It's going to come back. So I got to say this, you normally grow through adversity. Y'all believe that, right? Stop trying to avoid growing then. Some of us don't like confrontation, don't like friction, but that's how you grow. Stop avoiding growing in patience. And if any of you ever ask God, give me more patience, look out. Because all the people that irritate you, the circumstances, they're about to come again. And now it's about your challenge. Are you going to overcome it? So be careful what you be praying for. If you experience little growth, not having enough of anything, a lot of the times, it's probably because of you. Your life is what you make it. I remember this years ago. Bishop preached this message on your life is what you make it. You are in control of your life, folks. So I need some participation. I'm a teacher. I teach at Pasadena City College, and I coach women's basketball. And I'm an awesome coach. I just want y'all to know that I'm awesome. I'm telling the truth. But I'm going to tell you why I'm awesome, why I'm so good, because God put that in me. And I've just been nurturing it. People mentored me, but God put that in me, and I'm just letting it come out. And that's why I'm so good at what I do. So, in your participation, you tell me where this is in the Bible. We reap sparingly because we sow sparingly. What book is that in? Joanne said, oh, yes. Amen. You're right. Can we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6? Them catch up with us, huh? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, it says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So, my sister, Fernetta, raise your hand, Fernetta, she got three sons that live in Kansas. Two of them live on a ranch. And 40 acres of land, folks. 20 acres of, he grows, harvest brome. Brome is like alfalfa. It's livestock feed. And he's a cowboy. He rides bulls. He trains horses. Oh, look at that. There they go. That's Brian. That's Fernetta's daughter, Brunetta, and that's Brunetta's two kids. See this back here, folks? That's that brome. He's harvested. And it's just sitting there. He got about 30 cows, about 30 horses, two other pieces of property. But that's his harvest. He planted that stuff maybe 12 years ago, and all he does now is fertilize it and harvest it, and he sells it off. He has more than enough. I even bought a couple of cows myself and put them on his farm. But that's his sowing, and that's his reaping. He got two lakes on the other part of his property. He wants to build homes for his family to come out there and live and stay. I might. Because her other son is a construction. He's a part owner of a construction company. He builds houses. So I'm going to share with you some sowing in my life, okay? Anybody been a waiter or waitress in here? Okay, I got a couple of people. Okay. I'm about to share my waitress story. So normally my family, we go out to eat. Well, should I say? Every now and then we go out to eat. My daughter, she's a dancer. She had a what do you call that? A recital, a dance recital. And she good. And so after the dance recital, I said, let's stop at the Brea Mall. I want to look at some furniture. And we get to the mall, and my daughter goes, and I told her how good she was. And she said, can we go out and eat? It's about 8 o'clock that night. I said, well, yeah, let's go to Hometown Buffalo. Let's go Golden Corral. She went, Daddy, you said I did good. I said, but it's all you can eat. Daddy. I said, okay, where you want to go? She said, Cheesecake Factory. So it's Monday night. We go to Cheesecake Factory outside the Brea Mall, walk in there, get seated. I go wash my hands. I come out, and I see Pastor, his wife, and his family, and they're in the same place eating. I said, okay. I go there, and this is my sewing story, folks. I go there and sit down at the table, and the waitress is already there giving us our water, and I just sat down. I just went, and I gave her $40. And she said, what's that for? I said, that's your tip. I said, if it's not enough, I'll give you some more in the end. And she just looked like, I said, you don't get tipped up front. She said, maybe one other time. I'm like, and then she said, but what if I don't give you good service? Some of y'all know my wife, right? My wife went like this. Oh, you will. And I said, it don't matter. I'm going to tip you anyway. I said, do you know what a tip is? She said, no. I said, that's to ensure proper service. So I sow seed. Normally in a restaurant, I just pull out. I try to have some cash in my pocket to pay the waiter or waitress up front. And I just sow that seed right away. I'm going to tell you some of the benefits. Just like that within 45 minutes. My wife will always usually ask the waiter or waitress about a certain meal. She's trying to decide between two of them. And she'll pick one, and she'll get to eating it. And the waiter will come back and say, how'd you like? She said, well, I think I should have got the other one. So they bring the other one. No charge. I've sold that seed for the whole family. We get desserts, whatever. You know, my daughter speaks fluent Spanish. And so if the waiter or waitress speaks Spanish, she's ordered our food in Spanish. And they just have a good time talking. And I tell the waiter, I say, hey, y'all, you got other customers? And they say, oh, don't worry about it. I'm having a good time with y'all. The less I spend on the food, the more tip the waiter or waitress get. That's just how I am. My dad always tells me, man, you tip too much. I said, don't worry about it. It's okay. You know, let them have what they need to have. You don't just be a good tipper. All you waiters, You want me to come to your restaurant and sit in your section. So I mentioned I'm a teacher. I teach at Pasadena City College. I teach in the kinesiology division. So that means I'm a kinesiologist. I have one class called Introduction to Kinesiology, and that I require my students to be in groups of twos and threes and go interview someone in the kinesiology umbrella who has a career, and that could be from nurses to sports agents to physical therapists, you know, whatever. Just interview somebody and bring back the interview and let us see 6 to 8 minutes of it and give us a PowerPoint presentation. I had this one young man who was just having trouble. He's from out of state, Christian guy, having trouble with the group he was with, meeting times because he had to work. And I had a set rule, folks. You gotta be with a group. He kept coming at me, Coach, I can't meet with them. And you gotta be with a group. My coaching part come out. You gotta be with the group, you know. Finally, a week before it was due, and all these situations, the group said, Coach, he never meets with us. So I just gave in. I think he was praying up to God to find some favor from Teacher Joe to come back and say he could do it on his own. And I yielded. I did. I had never done it before, but I did it. He came back with his presentation from Dr. Dexter Williams, a chiropractor in Pasadena, and he did a great job. They both did a great job. And I said, man, I'm intrigued by this doctor. I said, let me call him up. I called him up. And I said, can I meet with you? He said, yeah, come on down. So I met with him for about 10, 15 minutes, just talked about his office. He had about 10, 11, 12 rooms of machinery, decompression machines, massage. I mean, just that extra everything. I said, Doc, by the way, I got a little in my lumbar part of my spine. After about 15 minutes of standing, I get numbness in the leg. I'm a coach, man. I can't be sitting down all the time. I said, but I got to sit down to relieve. He said, oh, Joe, I can take care of that. I went, you can't? I said, man, I've been praying. He said, well, that's good, but I can take care of that. I said, what you gonna do? He said, come see me 2 or 3 times a week for about 20 minutes, for about 2 or 3 months, watch. So I did that. Folks, this is 5, 6 years ago. Now I'm standing free 3 months later from that guy. I said, Doc. He said, you know, I just stretched out your spine a little bit because that nerve is being pinched in there. And that caused that numbness, whether it's your arms, your legs, whatever it is. I said, okay. But now watch this. Here's what I'm getting at. The student who wanted to do it by himself, and I wouldn't let him, went upstairs with his prayer for favor. God spoke to Coach P, let that boy do this on his own so you can get something out of this. I mean, he didn't say that, but you know. I let him present his project on his own. I developed a new relationship with a chiropractic doctor. And I've been referring people to this guy all the time to help them out, watch this, physically, emotionally, spiritually, folks. You walk in his office, it's just vitamins and minerals, just natural stuff. To heal the body, I'm like, whoa, man. I said, God, I don't know why, because I had been praying about this, but I'm like, okay, so what? How come I'm not getting healed from this from you? Whatever the reason is, it's done now, but maybe it's because of that kid. So now here's my next scripture I need to get y'all to. Deuteronomy 24, 19. And let me see here if, okay, oh, yeah, there it goes up there. So check this out. This is God talking to Moses. The kids has come out of Egypt, and they didn't cross the Red Sea. He gave them some rules and stuff. This is what you need to abide by, folks. So Moses tells them, hey, when you are harvesting your crops and forget to bring in a bundle of grain from your field, don't go back and get it. Leave it for the foreigners, the orphans, and widows. Then the Lord, your God, will bless you in all you do. He said, when you harvest your field and you leave a bundle and you put all the stuff in the tent, the farm, the barn, whatever, and don't go, oh, I forgot. He said, leave it there so I can bless you. So let's, the next verse, verse 20. When you beat the olives from your olive trees, don't go over the boles twice. You know, you're knocking them down. He said, leave the remaining olives for the foreigners, the orphans, and the widows. So it comes down to, what are you leaving behind for someone else? Are you being a blessing for someone who sowed some seed? See, those other, the foreigners, the widows, the kids, they're praying to God like this student was, like, God, we got to get some more food today. And the person in charge, God said, hey, when you harvest your stuff, like my nephew, when you harvest your stuff, leave some. Don't take everything, because if you don't take everything, I'm going to answer their prayers, and I'm going to take care of you too. So this is a little pruning in my life right now. Okay, so Joanne Birthright, her husband is Dennis Birthright. That's my life group leader. Dennis will pray heaven down to earth, folks. If you want somebody to pray for you, they got other people in this church that will do it. But this brother will pray heaven down to earth for you. He did it for me. I want to say when Joanne, and she gets up and she gives a word of knowledge, some prophecies in the spirit, take heed to it. When Cynthia Carter does that, now there's her husband on the congos over there, when she stands up and listen, I'm telling y'all, I was outside a church a few years ago, and Cynthia Carter just walked up to me and went like this. The Lord told me to tell you to pray more in the spirit. She went, okay, bye. Have a good day. And I didn't take offense to that. I just went, the word I've studied that hit me was more. I said, I better get on it. And then I'm sharing a little victory thing with Joanne outside, her and her husband. And I said, you know, I got this Lexus car. It's 10 years old. I found a little leak in my driveway. I took it back to Lexus. And the guy said, well, it's going to cost you $125 for this part. But he called me back because I had left the car there. And he said, but we're going to replace your whole engine for you. I said, wait a second. I said, the car, I don't have no warranty. I just want to know why it's leaking. He said, don't worry about it. We got it. I don't work for Lexus, but you should buy you a Lexus. No, I'm just But then Joanne said something to me. She said, let me get this right. She said, people want God to work in their lives like a microwave all the time. And that's not how God works all the time. Because then I proceeded to tell her about a situation I was going through at the college where two people wanted me, I'm at the pinnacle, still rising on that coaching level, and they wanted me to get out of coaching. And I said, okay. But I had got blessed with this new engine before I was about to go through something. And God told me, as I was going through this attack, I thought, he said, you're being pruned right now. It's the cutback season. You get to get trimmed. It goes back to my topic. Can God trust you in this season? Can he trust you with the sowing, or are you going to eat up all your seed? Can he trust you in the harvest when it come up? What are you going to do with it? Can he trust you when you're being pruned, or are you going to walk away? So he said, will you trust me? You're being pruned. So I had to start standing more on God's word. So I'm glad for the word that I got from them young ladies. I kept sowing into people's lives. I'm a basketball coach, folks. That's what I do. They said for 2 or 3 months, they were like taking me. I'm like, and I fought it. And some of y'all came and helped me fight it. And I appreciate that. And but I still put on clinics for kids. I still went and coached. I was still sowing seed, you know, utilizing the talent that God has given me. So there are seasons you go through. You have to recognize what season are you in. I'm glad God said, hey, you're being pruned. I ain't never been cut before like that, folks. I mean, I was like, ooh, wee. But the Bible says offenses will come. I didn't hold on to that. I said, them people don't know what they're talking about. God sent me here, and it's not time for me to leave. So I just kept praying. Like he said, stand on the word. Start standing on the word more, you know, and I did that. I did. I recognize Ecclesiastes 3:1. But what season am I in? So what are you doing during your harvest and pruning time? That's my question to you folks. Maybe during this season you were supposed to be leaving behind, giving away something so you are not hindering your growth, your next level blessing with God. So I had you guys stand up at the beginning. I'm going to tell you why. Let me share some examples with you how you can leave behind when you're knocking the olives off the tree and don't get all of them. Let someone else have the rest of them. When you carry those bundles in and you left a bag because you couldn't carry it, leave it back. So let me give you a couple examples how you can leave some stuff behind. Some of y'all got timeshares. 3, 4, 5 weeks, 6 weeks a year. And you're probably giving away a week. Keep doing it. But if you haven't been, why not? Leave it behind for somebody. Why not pay so-and-so's car note this month? What? Oh, we were in a restaurant. Why not pay? I've had this happen to me, folks. Why not pay those people's meal as you're walking out? And I know you're ready for this one. Why not pay their rent? Their house note. And folks, not that they need it, and maybe they do. That's not your concern. But can you do it? Because remember what it said? So God will come back and bless you because you're taking care of so-and-so. Oh, here's one. How about them them gift cards you got sitting in your purse, your wallet, in that drawer? Just collecting dust? Give them away. You don't know what you're doing for someone else, folks, when you're giving stuff away. You just don't know. You don't know. Oh, you know, I'm so I was supposed to do it. Put your hands up in the air like this, like you're catching a baseball, and grab it and bring it down right here to your heart. That means when something's been said and you like it, that's for you. That word going forth. You can go like this and bring it down and go like that and throw it to somebody else and say that you need that. Don't do that because, you know, we always good about what other people need. Keep it for yourself. So I got to initiate this. I got to start this off. My card is in there. It just came up in me that that was the person. So you got to call me. My cell number, that's 2 tickets to the L.A. Sparks basketball game, courtside. Do that for people, folks. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27 and 28. And, you know, when we hear stuff, we all like, I enjoyed your message, but I'm not going to obey it. You believe like you believe. I believe like I believe. Every person to his own. You don't have no own when you belong to him. So in Proverbs 3:27, watch this. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say come back tomorrow and then I'll help you. Now watch this, watch this. You know, you're watching somebody say, I want to help them and I like them. Yeah, I'm going to watch them one more day. Let's see what they do next week. It went off. He just said, don't hold back. This is God telling you what you should do for so-and-so so he can come back and take care of you. But you holding up. You holding out. Stop holding out, folks. Because watch this. Maybe that person is the key to your blessing from God for you if you're giving them something. You got to be thinking that way. So now let's go into this harvest season. Oh yeah, I'm going to catch up with that time. Okay, here we go. Remember I told you I was going through a little stuff at PCC? Okay. I'm where God wants me to be. I can tell you that right now. God put me in that position. But I should be doing more. And I started doing more. My brother James Washington, he told me a while ago, he said, Joe, you went through that little thing, the little ordeal, but your flame is not right like it used to be. I said, you're right. Thanks for checking me on that. So I started being more aggressive, doing more stuff, getting out like I used to do, and making things happen. Because he checked me. I wasn't mad at him. Stop being offended at people, folks. Just let him share some things with you and move forward. So my next question, are you where God wants you to be in your life? Watch this. Excuse me. If you are, don't leave the place until God tells you. People always ask, well, Joe, when you going back to men's basketball? When you moving on? When God tell me? See, I know he put me there. And if I leave before, things don't work out as long and as good. So some of us, we leave jobs, we leave relationships, we leave churches, we leave cities, we leave schools, etc., because we've been offended two or three or four times. It was too hard. We didn't like what was going on. I didn't get the recognition. I didn't get the appreciation. Didn't get the promotion. And what you have to understand, you might be going through the pruning season. So can God trust you during the pruning time? Because what happens to some of us, if we don't have this foreknowledge, we're not in tune, we say, oh, they don't like me. I'm leaving. And all he was doing was cutting you back. Because I know if you cut the rose bush down in January, this time of the year in the springtime, summertime, you get more roses. I told y'all, I can't do that right now. Let me see. This is me, folks. I think if you leave a place before you're supposed to, that anointing that God's given you, because the Bible says the gifts of God are irrevocable. So that anointing, I think it lessens. This is me saying this. I think it lessens. I think your influence on people, it lessens when you leave places before you're supposed to. Those witty ideas and invention that God's trying to give you for that environment, I think it goes, it diminishes, you know. And you might not die. You're not going to die. But the branches off your tree, some of those might die off. Because you left too soon, you didn't like so-and-so, you didn't understand getting pruned, so you can come out and blossom and be bigger and better. My latter times at Pasadena City College are just as good as my former ones. One of the reasons is because when that stuff came at me, I'm like, they don't know, this. I'm part of God. I didn't get offended like that and leave. The thought came in my mind, I said, get out of here. Uh-uh, not to me, you don't. Told the devil, not to Joe Perone. And so since I stayed, a few more things, and I'm almost done here, folks. I speak twice a year. Every semester to some of the brightest minds on PCC campus, these tutors from physics to English, social science. I mean, the director invites me back every semester. I'm like, why you want me? She said, Coach, the kids fill out these forms, and they say they give you kudos. They give you 5 stars all the time. They said, you are the best motivator that they've had. I said, you got like 10, 11 instructors coming. She said, but they like you. So I keep getting invited back. I sold a verbal seed 26 years ago. It's my 27th season at Pasadena City College to have a great basketball program. So I started working. I started recruiting the better players. I started visualizing, thinking towards that, and it became a reality. They won numerous championships, more All-Americans than that school's ever had, these girls. Like Dr. Joss said, I recognize what's in young ladies, and I try to bring it out to its fullest while they're playing for me, as a player and as a person. You know, that's my job. I've been nominated Teacher of the Year twice. They say, I haven't won yet. They say if you get nominated three times, you might win. I'm waiting for that third nomination. I'm the Hall of Fame director for the state of California for women's basketball and community college. I'm the winningest coach in the history of the college of all the sports, folks. And I was recognized 2 months ago by the LA County Board of Supervisors. I don't think I know anybody on that board, but they sent me this big old certificate. It's beautiful. And I'm like, whoa. But I wouldn't have gotten some of this other stuff if I had left because I thought I was being attacked. But I was just being pruned. What I've been trying to do is trying to please God. I know that I heard this from the late Norval Hayes. He said, if God can trust you, he can promote you. And I went, so he's got to be able to trust you to promote you. Can he trust you in the season that you're in? Can you recognize and identify the season that you're in? My time is zero, but you know how us coaches are, but I'm going to accommodate you. Hey, I'm going to tell a quick story. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. This is it. This is the King Judgment. Y'all got to look this up. This is the last days, and God is separating. The king is separating the sheep from the goat. The sheep get on the right, the goat get on the left. He said, okay, you sheep, I'm about to take care of y'all, give you some blessings because you inherited since the foundation of the world. You've done the right thing. He said, when I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me water. When I was, I didn't have a place to stay, no roof on my, you took me in. I was in prison, you came to visit me. And the sheep go, Lord, when did we do that for you? He said, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren. When you were hitting the olive tree and you left some olives up there. When you were taking the baskets in and you left a basket back. When you looked to the right, the left, and looked in front and you gave something to somebody. When you did it to the least of them, my brethren, you did it unto me. So I'm closing with that, folks, and I'm just saying, can God trust you in this season? Can God trust you in this season? Amen.